sampled it from him, but it's not the same bass line.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going.
Yes? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the host to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright
experiment.
That's right, you're listening to the Copyright Experiment here on CITR 101.9 with myself, Jeff, DJ Mochi, and Tim.
That's me.
Autonomy.
Yeah. You can also listen on CITR.ca. I know a lot of people listen online.
Yeah. And if you're so inclined, you can listen to it previous shows on our blog at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com.
Yes, you can.
You can check out all the previous episodes as well as download links to all the songs we play, which are all freely available for download.
And yes, they are.
What are we talking about this week? Some stuff going on with the DMCA.
Yeah, this week some important news happening. It hasn't really been like making waves or anything, but it's not exactly news yet, but it will be soon. The U.S. Congress is interested in revamping their Copyright Act, which is really exciting news to me. I hope it's exciting news for people interested in copyright and just the future of the internet, because revamping the Copyright Act is something that we talk about all the time on the show. And specifically, just yesterday, the U.S. Congress subcommittee, the Judiciary Committee on Courts, Intellectual Property, and the Internet, had a hearing from various industry experts and lawyers about how the DMCA has been specifically working for them. And the DMCA, if you're unaware, is the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which is the most recent addition to the Copyright Act in the U.S. And it had a pretty significant impact on the formation of the internet. And it was enacted around 1999, I believe, when the internet was really taking off, right at the end of the tech bubble in the 90s, but before the dawn of things like Web 2.0, which kind of created the user-driven internet in content.
Yeah, and the U.S. government, or should I say specifically the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Courts, Intellectual Property, and Internet, is specifically looking at the safe harbors created by the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Mm-hmm.
Which some people say have, you know, saved the web. And then we're hearing from experts and people highly involved in the field on what they think it's actually doing, so that, you know, they can kind of re-examine what's going to happen from here and if these safe harbors will continue to be something good or if they need to be changed somehow.
Yeah, so I'll explain a bit about the safe harbors. So what they mean by safe harbor is when the DMCA was created, there was a problem. At the time, there was problems with copyright infringement on the internet. There was massive amounts of piracy, and the RIAA and other huge organizations were really worried that their music was being pirated online. And so the DMCA responded pretty heavily to that. But what they also did was that they realized that in a different way from other ways of piracy, the people that host the data and the people that connect you to the internet weren't really taking part in the copyright infringement or the nefarious piracy that was happening. So they created these things called safe harbors, whereby an ISP shouldn't be liable for any infringement that happens on through their internet connections, because they aren't allowed to discriminate who can connect to the internet. That's an important part of the internet in the U.S. And so by not being able to discriminate who can connect, they're also they lose the liability of copyright infringement, which is good for them because it allows everyone to connect. But it also extended to service providers, so people who hosted content on servers that people uploaded. So in cases of like services like YouTube and email and stuff where there's lots of copyrighted content, and you know every email you send is copyrighted to yourself, there's a safe harbor for them to not be liable for anything that they are unaware of that's illegally happening on their website.
And this is good also, some people argue, in an economic sense, because it allows the service providers to really focus on what it is they're doing, providing the service, and not focus on monitoring content or, you know, being some kind of big brother for users.
Right. And so, yeah, so the committee here heard a bunch of people who are kind of experts on the way the internet's being used today. And so we're going to go through some of those testimonies today and give our thoughts along the way on it. And so the first testimony that was heard yesterday was by a professor of law at University of Washington named Sean O'Connor. And his major criticism was that the DMCA is not entirely adequate because it encourages people to take weird behaviors around the law. But he doesn't think that it's really in need of a complete overhaul. And there's a lot of other criticisms of the DMCA that weren't really talked about in this hearing, and a lot of people don't like it for other reasons, such as the illegality of circumventing copy protection, such as DRM, or DVD encryption and things like that. But that's not really what they're talking about here. So, me personally, I don't think the DMCA is very conducive to the way the internet's being used, but in this setting, the idea of the safe harbors and what's connected to it, the notice and takedown service of copyright holders, where they can tell a website that something is infringing and they have to oblige to the takedown, that's kind of what's being talked about here. And yeah, you want to say something?
Yeah, and the way I see it, we kind of have like three parties pulling in somewhat different directions. And there's the service providers, the users, and then the owners of the content, which is often being infringed or shared illegally.
Right.
And so for the ISP or for the service providers, it makes sense to just, you know, let people do their thing, and you know that this way they can focus on profits. And this is what most companies do. You know, they kind of say, okay, we're just going to turn a blind eye to things, and then, you know, as long as we're not getting problems, you know, with it, then we don't have to worry about it. And if we do have problems, we'll just take it down.
Right. And Sean O'Connor, he mentions that actually the legal advice that most startup companies get when they're worried about copyright infringement is just don't monitor your product, which seems kind of counterintuitive if you want to make your site safe from litigation. But they say is if you don't know about it, then you're safe technically from the law because you have this safe harbor around things that happen on your site. But, you know, as soon as they know that things are happening, if they start monitoring it and they don't take decisive action on it immediately, then they are liable for it. So it kind of creates this weird gray area where services are intentionally avoiding looking at copyright, partly because it's safer for them legally and partly because that content may actually drive more people to their site anyway.
And it's also cheaper. They don't have, you know, they don't have to monitor. That's one less thing they have to do. They can focus more
exactly
on where it is they need to and cut costs that way. And that means that companies that do, you know, say, let's say they want to try to, you know, monitor or something to be ethical, I don't know, then they're going to fall behind economically because they can't compete, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that creates another incentive. So really the pressure is on to these service providers to not monitor their content, which can sometimes be good for users, but then this is problematic for the content creators or the people with the copyright holders, because then their stuff gets put up and they have to take the onus upon themselves to find out where their stuff is being shared. And if you're, you know, a smaller artist, you don't have time for that.
Mm-hmm.
If you got, you know, big corporations working for you, okay, maybe, you know, then you have more people that can help you out with that. But then at the same time, that also means there's more people sharing it, most likely, at different sites, which again, you know, is maybe good for the users, but it's bad for the bad, you know, financially and in some ways for the copyright holders, but then it can be good or bad for the service providers.
Right. And it's funny, there's a lot of the testimonies that was heard in the hearing are kind of split on this, and some people like Anne-Marie Brady, who's a law professor in Idaho, University of Idaho, and Catherine Oyama, who's the Copyright Policy Counsel for Google, they both kind of are in agreement that DMCA takedown notices have been adequate so far, and they've been okay even with the growth of the internet, because that the onus is still on copyright holders to report the their infringement that's happening to their work, and it's not a burden to the services. But then the services also, you know, they have their obligation to hold up when it does get reported. So they think that's it's a fair balance. But what it does mean, that what that system does do is mean, it, what it does is that people who have a really large amount of copyrighted work or have work that is really, really popular, they're going to be filing a lot of DMCA takedown notices. And apparently every month in total, the number of takedown notices is 6.5 million.
More than 6.5.
More than 6.5 million takedown notices every month on the internet. And that's to over 30,000 sites, which is mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's
that,
nuts.
That they're cracking down that hard on things. And that, I mean, it seems to be worth it for them, or that they believe it to be worth it. So, I mean, the one argument is that, oh, well, you know, it's a system that people are using. We're filing 6.5 million requests, and a lot of these are, tend to be automated now. But you could argue that the system is working that way, so it's good, we shouldn't change it. But you could say, like, 6.5 million copyright infringements on the internet under our current law, that sounds like it's almost not working. Because if we have sound laws that encapsulate the way that people think about copyright, or should think about copyright, then we wouldn't have such a profound problem like this.
Yeah, one would expect that, and I guess I don't know the trend, but that this number would be getting smaller, or, you know, the problem, quote unquote, would be going away.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have 6.5 million a month. That's still a
yeah, and it's
enormously
growing.
Number. Large
yeah.
Number.
Who is it? Catherine Oyama, who does policy counsel for Google. She says that Google itself in 2013 received 230 million takedown requests, which is crazy. And some people, this guy named Bruce Boyden, he kind of says that because the DMCA was created in 1999, it was basically thought of, it's basically a 20th century fix to copyright infringement, and it's being forced on this 21st century technology that's a completely different beast, and that's why it's not working. So the notice and takedown system is costly for content owners, and websites are advised not to monitor their sites because of that, and because to maintain the safe harbor. So O'Connor thinks that the lesson from here isn't that we need to reshape or revamp the DMCA or completely gut it or completely change it, which is a little disappointing to me because from everything that he's said, it sounds like it's not really working at all in the way that it's, well, I mean, it's doing what it's supposed to do, but it's not changing people's behaviors and it's not fixing the root problem at all. And so his solutions are actually fairly weak, and he says that notice and takedown should be reformulated into notice and stay down, so that because a lot of the content that gets uploaded gets re-uploaded to the same sites, and so what a site can do is if something gets uploaded, they could just, if it gets reported once, they can block it from entirely being uploaded again.
And that can be done, you know, automatically with scans or...
Yeah.
There's lots of ways you can do it. You can audio fingerprint things or... Video, I assume they have the same similar kind of things, or to search for the names even, because a lot of people don't bother to change mm-hmm. the names.
Yeah, and he also thinks that you should ban the ability to willfully not monitor your own website and like kind of feign ignorance to what's happening on your site, which it makes it a little harder. It makes it easier to hold websites accountable for copyright infringement, but it also forces websites to... invest a lot of resources into taking care of those things on their website, which could be a real barrier to entry for new technology startups.
Yeah, and the way I kind of like to think about this is, say you are the owner of a club and you have, you know, shady people coming in that are going to, I don't know, commit crimes or something like that. To me, it's kind of like, what do you do to... you know, ensure that people come in, because you can't really control who comes in entirely. You know, you have some control over it. Like when you have a sort of a private space that's open to the public, that's kind of the challenge you have is how do you filter, you know, what's coming in, or do you, and then when there's problems, how do you deal with it? And then at what point does the law say, okay, you need to shut down, or you just need to get rid of these guys, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
And so it's tricky to, for them, the service providers, you know, they really have a huge burden to find find somewhere in the middle that they can still make money, but then also, you know, abide by the laws and not piss people off.
Yeah, they kind of have to police themselves, which is maybe considered an unfair burden. The interesting thing about copyright specifically is that, I mean, it's a fine analogy to think of, you know, people coming in and doing things you don't want in your store, but it's really easy to notice when people, say, are stealing or doing something illegal in your store, but it's not entirely clear whether a copyrighted material or copyrighted work is actually infringing on a copyright. And that's a really big distinction that you always have to keep in mind when you're thinking about copyright, that you know, there's lots of ways you can use a copyrighted work and still be legally allowed to use it. And you can use it under fair use, you can use it under criticism. We've talked about all the tenets of fair use before, and you can use it under license. And if the copyright holder doesn't really care if it's out there, then that's another reason that it doesn't need to be taken down. So there, just because the copyrighted work is out there, it doesn't mean that it's infringing, and that's going to be a problem for any proposed filtering system that people may want to implement to stop copyright infringement.
Yeah, and a filtering system would also, well, in the way that Tim was just talking about, really hamper the sort of artistic growth and possibly even the economic growth of artists and even individuals who just want to, you know, play around with things and within the bounds of fair use. Mm. And what was it that O'Connor said about that? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Let's see if I can find it.
In the meantime, I'll talk about one of the other guys named Paul Doda, who is the global litigation counsel for Elsevier, the big publishing company. And they're a big German publishing giant. They publish mostly scientific and medical works, textbooks and scientific journals and stuff like that. And their big complaint is that the notice and takedown works fine for them, but like O'Connor said, the real infringement happens when people are just constantly re-uploading things. And Paul points out that they've had like a genetics textbook, for example, that was uploaded to a file sharing site over 500 times and taken down each time, which is kind of ridiculous. But it also suggests that maybe the DMCA isn't working the way it should. If all that happens is your thing gets taken off the site in a digital world where it's so cheap and easy to upload things, just having it removed isn't really a big deterrent.
Yeah, and I think that's where we maybe could potentially use something stronger to make people stop, you know? Because, like Tim said, you know, it's like, oh, I got to take it down? Okay, no big deal. Yeah. I'll upload it somewhere else, or I'll find it somewhere else, or, you know.
But whatever. then there's the problem of, you know, the more you automate copyright detection, the more false positives you're going to get, right? You're going to get things that are being licensed lawfully. You're going to get things that are actually covered under fair use, under criticism or parody. And actually, one of the other presenters in this council, Paul Siminski, is the general counsel for a company called Automattic, which is best known for running the WordPress software. And WordPress is nearly ubiquitous on the internet now as a blogging platform. And one of the big problems that they have, and what Paul Siminski recommends to the DMCA, is that they need to make it easier for companies to show that their use of copyrighted work is actually covered under fair use or covered under a license or something. And because a lot of their websites and a lot of their blogs get takedown notices, and they get a lot of takedown notices because they're a big platform, but a lot of them are actually fair use, or they're able to use it. And it creates kind of a weird zone for them, because now they have to go and analyze each report that they get, and that's a time-consuming process. And if they don't report it, or if they don't take down the infringing thing based on the takedown, and it is copyright infringement, then they are liable for it.
You know, I think this is something that Project Disco talks about in their article. And this is what I wanted to say earlier, is that there's a difference between lawful content used unlawfully and unlawful content. Mm-hmm. And so you can't just filter all copyrighted content saying that it's, you know, unlawfully used because it's context and user dependent, as he says. And so, you know, really it's something that's more complex than just, you know, saying yes or no to X, Y, and Z. You know, you really have to figure out what's going on with you know, the user and the artist or the copyright holder's original intent, mm-hmm. you know, or even, you know, it could even be the artist uploading it for all they know, you know. So it definitely becomes much more nuanced than just, okay, filter this, filter that, don't yeah. filter that.
And another thing that WordPress has had a problem with is copyright infringement, but they're also getting takedown notices for things that don't cover copyright, things like stuff that may be considered libel or something, or just information or criticism of something that exists on the web that isn't actually copyrighted, but someone wants it to taken down anyway. The best way to do that is to file the takedown notice, and because most sites, they can't afford to file a counterclaim against it, so they'll just take it down anyway. And so that's a big problem, too, because the easier you make it for people to file those takedowns, the more likely they're going to abuse it for other purposes.
But then, you know, on the other hand, if you don't take it down, then there's a chance you might, you know, end up with a lot of fees in your hands as a service provider, which is what they're avoiding. And so that really puts them between a rock and a hard place, I think.
Yeah, so I think overall, in conclusion, a lot of the people that presented their testimony to this court, they didn't really offer many satisfying solutions to the problems.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, these are a lot of problems, and no matter which way we go, there's other problems.
Well, yeah, some people will say, well, this is a solution that we should pursue, but, you know, that's going to be good for their services, but then another company, it's going to be bad for them, right? So it's going to be good for Google, and it's going to be good for Sylvia, it's going to be bad for WordPress.
Yeah. And
so it's tricky, and there's... the good news, though, I think, is that there are ways that we can get around this takedown notice thing, and that is really just to for copyright holders to loosen the hold they have on their works. And we're starting to see that now with more cloud-based technology, right? We're seeing services where you can listen to things for free online if you pay a small fee, or maybe if you don't pay a small fee, through things like Pandora. You can use your images like we talked last week. You can get Getty images for free through a free licensing program that will probably pay off for them, as we talked about last week. So, I mean, there's ways, I think, that you can allow your copyrighted material to be used in a licensed way that removes even the desire for a takedown notice.
And then still generates you profits.
Exactly. And YouTube has already been doing this. And in their statement, they call this a quote-unquote proactive DMCA tactic, but it's really just a way for them to make money, is that, you know, if something is being used in your track, you can actually automatically earn ad revenue from that video instead of having to just take it down.
Yeah, it's, you know, take advantage of the way things are and the way they're going to be, rather than trying to, you know, squeeze it into a bottle, which might not necessarily work mm-hmm. for the way things are, and just the way the internet, just the nature of what it allows people to do, it might not be possible to squeeze this, you know, like who was it that was saying earlier that we're trying to apply a 20th century idea to a 21st century kind of system.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the inherent problem with it, which is why we can't find a good solution to it. And, but, you know, it means we're just going to have to come up with the 21st century solution, and those are happening.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily 100% hopeful, but I'm at the very least very curious to see what they're going to do with the DMCA. I think it's going to be really interesting. And it's going to shape what the next decades are like.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to wrap the talk up now and maybe take a short break here.
Yeah. And once again, you're listening to CITR 101.9. This is the Copyright Experiment.
If you want to check out any of the songs we're about to play, head up our blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. We have all our shows on there. And we'll be back in a minute.
This is BFM Graymaker. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
The question, what kind of cities do we want to live in? How do we want our cities to be? Cannot be divorced from the question of what kind of people we want to be.
Join me, your host, Andrew Longhurst, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. for The City, an hour dedicated to critical discussions of urban issues. Live on CITR 101.9 FM and CITR.ca. For more info, visit thecityfm.org.
And we're back here on CITR 101.9. This is the Copyright Experiment. Autonomy about to get us into some tunes, spin a little mix for us. And as always, you can download the songs after the jump on our website at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com.
We ain't gonna get no takedown notices.
And we ain't gonna get no takedown notices because this is all freely available, shared by artists, I assume for their promotional purposes, and then shared again by us for you guys to enjoy. And what's the first track we're gonna play, Tim?
It's a remix by Rafferty.
Remix by Rafferty. Remix of Rafferty.
By Alvin Lee Ryan.
And enough said. Enjoy.
this sensual little remix here, produced by Depi out of Montreal. Before that, we heard Saint Pepsi, Tichy. Monster Galaxy remix of Toroi Moi. The song's called Harm and Change. little slice of groove is On It All Night by a guy called Last Name Casper. Track by Quick Fix, Canadian guy. Track's called Never Here. That little bit of Serato turntablism was not part of the original song.
So just be honest. on your way. Oh, won't you just leave now? Don't beg me, please, cause it hurts so much, and I'm gonna miss your touch. But I know you have to go, cause you're hurting me so. I wanna help you fight, but you ain't treating me right. So I'll do it on my own, I'll be better off alone. It's so real, it's not how I wanna feel. I still can't believe how cool you are to me. Walk out that door, cause I don't need you anymore. Your time is up, baby, I'm out of line.
Young nigga hands in everything. My nigga think I need tentacles. My mansion looking historical. 24 carats surrounding my porch.
Peekaboo by Migos. My bitches are did it in my Metro Boomin and Zaytoven on the beat.
I got the white like a chop boy. Breaking the truck, you gon' pay for it. Break 20 bad Christian Lubitsch. Pick a shoe, pick a shoe, pick a shoe. They asking about what is the beef with you rap. Sorry, I don't wanna interview. From the shop to pot like Pikachu. Where is my revenue? They investigating like the Blues Clues. Mama say try different avenues. Most of my people, they didn't believe until I turned into a Hercules. Ever since day one we took off, I talked to God, he said, murder, please. Peekaboo. My diamond is Pikachu. Pikachu. Fuck out my face. No way. I don't wanna look at you. Peekaboo. My diamonds are shining, hurting your eye. Peekaboo. Look at you. You think that you bad, you know that you not.
Before this, we heard Juicy Joints. Out of Love, Basement Rework.
My dime is Pikachu. Pikachu. Fuck out my face. No way. I don't wanna look at you. Double R goes nigga peekaboo. Peekaboo. Broke is a bitch nigga pitiful. Locked up on time. Lambo no mind. Jesus pieces nigga spiritual. Jesus pieces. I just woke up in the mansion. Huh? Wondering how the fuck did this shit happen. How did it happen? The blogs they say I be snapping. I'm snacking the movie. Lights camera action. I'm beating the pot knuckles. Got a fresh. Been in that flow niggas got it packed. We walking the club. We the main attraction.
It's all just in my head. Getting visions of this bridge. Getting twisted. I ain't tripping, man. I'm tipping on the lid. It's all just in my head. All I needed was the meds. Check the doctor what he said. Let him live until he's dead. Said it's all just in my head. 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 It's all just in my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Through passion now, I'm cashing out. Fuck tapping out, I be spazzing. Wake up, I don't know what I would happen. All about the dubs, now I'm Mac 10. Why I gotta hit so many L's though? Why they head against the Chappelle show? Oh shit, when them arms lift, y'all gon' get the point like an elbow. Hell no, I ain't tripping, fool. Dumber since I went to school. Caught your boy, I knocked the fly. Swallow all kinds of piss and stool. Apparently, I need therapy and my theories conspiracies. Clearly, the shit weird to me, cause if it happened, that make it history. No, is you kidding me? As I twist the leaf in disbelief, kiss my teeth at the industry like I fuck with CE eventually. For now, I'm at that century. Keep it 100, I keep it 1,000. Creeping to come up, up in the album. That shit, the truth, and they're keeping me grounded. Who won't over your cash? Nobody asked, but you showed me the flash. Now I see lights, now I see dice. Now I see Nikes and gold as you have. And I love it to death, cause it's fucking success. So I'm raising my glasses, I'm bumping the split. Rubbing the clip while I'm bumping the hit. And I'm living the dream, but it doesn't exist.
It's all just in my head. Getting visions in this crib. Getting twisted, I ain't tripping, man. I'm tipping on the lip. Tell it's all just in my head. Let me live until I'm dead. All I needed was a myth. Check the doctor what he said. Tell it's all just in my head.
hard for that.
Making that jet move. My pesos from play clothes, Pyrex from Pedro, tax pop from Poochie, the Paul Smith, the Penrose. Bend down, that's 10 toes. Score, nigga, that's end zone. Ask me, I sell dope. N-O from this Benzo.
I be going hard for that. Peso, 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 peso. I be going hard for that. Peso, 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 peso. Peso, shit, I be going hard.
Super Sister, Dona Nobis Pasem, Pashem, I think. I don't know. DJ Shed on the remix. Before that, we heard MGK's Peso, Melee's version. And that wraps it up for us here on the Copyright Experiment. You're listening to CITR 101.9. Next up, we have Pierre with RL Tentacles, and he will take you through the rest of the night. Until then, bon voyage.